Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host for today's episode. And today, we're so blessed to have Dr. Agnes Chen on the podcast. Now, we all know her more popularly here at Catalyst as Agnes Chi. Agnes is a family practice doctor for Kaiser Permanente. She is involved in a multitude of ministries here at Catalyst. She's part of the prayer and deliverance ministry, children's ministry, and worship teams, where she plays keyboards. She's also served in drama ministry with Ollie, where I remember her as being Snow White more than a couple times. So when she's not serving on worship teams, Agnes can often be seen dancing like David during Sunday morning worship service, which is awesome. She's married to Henry, one of our elders here at Catalyst, and together they have two sons, Jaden, who, by the way, plays the bass, and Noah, who plays the drums, both on worship teams with Agnes. So with that, Agnes Chi, welcome to Catalyst Stories.
Thank you, John. Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's so awesome to have you. And, you know, speaking of awesome, it's been great seeing you playing on worship teams, having your boys join you Sunday morning. And I don't know if you realize this, but you have an ear-to-ear smile, and it's just like you're beaming. not that you weren't before, but it just seems extra special when your boys are up there with you. So what has that experience been like, being on worship with your boys?
Wow, it's been so amazing. And I didn't realize I had that kind of smile, but that is how I feel every time they join us for worship. And I think it's so amazing because I never thought that that would actually happen. Wow. I remember thinking way back, you know, it would be wonderful if they could use their musical talents for worship. But whenever we would ask, like Henry and I would ask them, you know, would they be interested? And they'd be like, no, worship music is so slow and it's boring, you know, so they would never, they'd roll their eyes if we had, you know, worship music on or whatever. So I never thought it would happen.
Wow.
But what was amazing is that Henry actually had a picture a long time ago of them doing worship, like all of us together, actually.
Wow.
And then what happened is it was actually, you know, it really takes a village to raise your kids.
Yes.
And I just really credit like Ross, our worship pastor, yes, right? Because he encouraged my boys when he found out that they could play instruments. Yeah. He said, oh, let's come over to my house and let's jam together. And I think just his invitation and his encouragement and his willingness to believe in them, I didn't think they would say okay, and they were excited. Wow. And so when they said that, I was like, really? So they went and they jammed, and it was so interesting, like what happened. One service, I think it was the service that Kimiko gave a testimony.
Yeah.
And I remember Jaden coming up to me and telling me, I think I'm supposed to join the worship team.
Wow.
And I thought, what? And also, I think Evasia had prayed for him that day.
Uh-huh. And that must have been music to your ears.
Yes. I was like, what? And then Noah, too. Like, so Noah came up and he heard Jaden say that. And he said, me too.
Wow.
And that he had been sensing that for a while.
Wow.
So I was ecstatic. I tried not to act so, you know, ecstatic. Yeah, like, oh, no. But and then I didn't think that it would actually happen, and it finally did.
Yeah,
and it's just been amazing, wow, I think. And they themselves have been touched during doing the worship themselves.
Yeah.
Like they've come back to me and said like they felt something. And even Noah, I hope he's okay with me saying this, was crying during one of the times he was playing because of the spirit came
on
him.
God just touched him, huh?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Wow. So I thought this is amazing. Yeah. God is so, so good.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing coming out in what you shared, Agnes, is that God, you know, has his timing for everything too, huh? So, you know, I know you had that, you and Henry had that vision in the back of your mind, and now it's come to fruition in God's time, huh?
Yes. And I think what happens is I think they're impossible. These things are impossible. Mm-hmm. Like I could not see them doing that, right? In my flesh, I thought, gosh, they're always telling us, no, we want to listen to our music, right?
Yeah.
So it was just amazing to me. And the Lord's done that so many times.
Yeah. Well, a big shout out to Uncle Ross, and now we just have to get Henry on board, right? Because have him join you with his violin, right? If I mean, he's the one, he had the prophecy, so he's got to help in the fulfillment too, right?
Right.
Now it's been also neat seeing you during the worship services, and you know, I kind of lovingly said, you know, you're the one in the front dancing before the Lord, but it does remind me of, you know, David danced before the Lord, and to me, when I see you and others in our church, I think the freedom, not only the freedom, but to me, that's what genuine joy of the Lord looks like. But I know it hasn't always been that way for you, at least for Sunday mornings. You know, we've seen you at worship practice let loose, and you know, but what changed for you as far as Sunday mornings go?
Yeah, so that is credit to Pastor Barry, actually, because a while back, I think it was like 2013 or 14, I went to Thailand for Zoe International, and we decided for one of our fundraisers, we would actually do a concert. And at that time, I had kind of created a physician band with some other physicians at work.
Yeah.
And so we were kind of an all physician band, and five of us, I think. And we actually entered like Fortune Magazine's Battle of the Bands, of the corporate bands, and we made it to the semifinals. But
wow.
Anyway, so we did the fundraiser, and it was I think it was like a Saturday night, and we thought, we're just going to charge for the band like a concert, right? So that was a fundraiser, and they had food there from Thailand and stuff. But what happened was a lot of the church people came, right? A lot of you Catalyst people came, uh-huh. So I don't know if you guys remember, but Pastor Barry came, and so the following day, actually, I think I was on worship. Funny enough, right?
Yeah.
So if you weren't at that concert, I can tell you that there is a kind of abandoned. I can't remember. I don't know what the word is, but just I'm very free.
Yeah.
But we were playing like secular songs, right? Like rock songs from the 80s and things like that. Yeah. And I'm jumping all around the stage and I'm doing all these crazy things. And I think I was talking to Damon about it the other day, and he's like, I want to see that side of Agnes come out more. But anyway, what happened on Sunday morning, the following morning, was that I think towards the end of worship, before like the ending of the service, and we still had a few more songs to go, Barry went up there. And he said, he called me out on this. He said, hey, Agnes, I think you need to redeem last night for the Lord today.
Ooh.
And why don't you, you know, worship the way that you were last night, right? At the concert for the Lord. And when he said that, I think something like clicked in me, wow, that's true.
Yeah.
Why? You know, I'm jumping around, I'm like shouting, I'm lifting my arms, I'm doing all sorts of things when I'm singing rock music.
Yeah.
But why am I not doing that during worship? Because there are times where I feel the music. So, and my body kind of wants, I love to dance.
Yeah.
So my body kind of responds to the music. So when it's fast, I want to dance and I want to jump, but I feel restricted or somehow like I can't do that. Whether it's because people are going to think, what is she doing, right, and looking at me, or if it's kind of not respectful or something to the Lord, that's kind of how I felt, right?
Yeah.
So when Barry said that and challenged me, I thought, wow, yeah, I need to do this because this is my creator. This is the one I'm worshiping.
Yes.
And I should just be myself, and who cares what other people are saying or looking, and who cares if I look funny?
Yes.
You know, it doesn't matter because I want to worship, right? Because it's for an audience of one. And so I did that. And since then I've been, whenever I feel like it, I will go and do that.
Yeah. And, you know, somehow I feel like that's the way God intended it to be all along. You know, some of the best things in life have kind of given like an evil, stay away from that, don't do this. But, you know, God created us and created us to be free, and he gave us the ability to dance. And somehow, you know, some of the best things that were always meant to be, you know, pure and a way of honoring God have now, you know, have cast this dark, you know, spot on it, and has actually taken that freedom away. And it sounds like, gosh, you know, you realize that, no, this is how God made us
to be. Yeah, it's so true what you're saying right now, because it is. I somehow felt like I couldn't dance like that or something. So it must be like, you know, you think in society there's a certain view of like secular rock music or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So it really was, in a sense, as Barry said, to kind of redeem that, you know, for the Lord. So it really, and I also have to give credit to Pastor Sam too, because that was, I don't think I would have been able to do that if I hadn't had the, you know, the Be Free class and stuff. To kind of not be as, you know, worried about how people think or, you know, what I'm doing.
Yes. Yeah. Gosh, you know, we have so many great resources, don't we, here at Catalyst that are just so, so amazing. Okay. So I want to dive right into your testimony. And so start by telling us why you seriously considered traveling back to Taiwan this year, and tell us about the major difficulties that you faced in making this trip.
Okay, so it started because I found out my cousins were getting married. So it's two brothers, and I'm from Taiwan. So I was born in Taiwan, but I came when I was three. But all of my mother's family is still in Taiwan, and she is the oldest. So I'm the oldest cousin, and it's a huge family. It's like a family of eight, right? Wow. So I had an aunt who actually came to Henry and I's wedding, and that was, 18 years back. But it was very special because she traveled herself to America, and it was the first time she'd ever traveled to America to represent kind of the, you know, my Taiwan relatives.
Yes.
And so that left a really, really deep impression on me. And so I felt like, wow, wouldn't it be nice if I could go and attend, you know, at least one of their weddings. So one of them was getting married in September of this year, and the other one in October. So I thought, okay, let me see if I can attend at least one.
Yeah.
So that was my first initial thought, right? And I hadn't been traveling since before the pandemic. That was the last time we had gone back to Taiwan, and we go every couple of years, but it had been a long time. And so I wasn't thinking about travel. And honestly, I was thinking, wow, this isn't going to be possible. But there were other things that God laid on my heart. Like my grandma is almost 100 and she's starting to have dementia. So there are times when I'm Zooming with her or on a call with her where she doesn't actually recognize me anymore. But it was a very special relationship because she raised me. My mom worked, you know, when I was born, and my dad had immigrated over to the United States. So she and I were really close, and I was the first, right, grandchild.
Yeah.
So there's a special place in her heart for me. So that was another thing. I thought, I want to go back and kind of visit her before she completely loses her memory. And then finally I had a pair of cousins, another set of cousins, a brother and a sister, who since the pandemic started have not gone out of their house, like, and things have been happening with them. Like they've been having food allergies, like they can't eat anything except for chicken and white rice for some reason.
Wow.
And I really felt like it was something spiritual that was oppressing them. And so because of all these things that were happening, I kind of felt like God was laying on my heart that I should go back to Taiwan. But I wasn't sure. That was a thought toward at the beginning of the year, yeah. right? And yeah. With like all the COVID restrictions, you know, everything was happening, the new variants, and then, you know, the vaccines. And yeah. and then at that time, Taiwan had a very strict policy. So there was a quarantine of like 14 days originally. So I thought, okay, I don't even know if this is possible, but what I'll do is I'll just put in the time because we have to put in our time way in advance yeah. to get vacation. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, if it's 14 days, at least if I do the wedding as like towards the end of the 14 days, you know,
yeah.
maybe make it like the 15th day, then I'll only have to take like a little over 2 weeks mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and then I could just fly back after the wedding, right? So it was just kind of a thought. I put in the request and then I thought, okay, we'll just see. So I hadn't really decided. It was just yeah. kind of like an impression and a desire.
Yeah.
And when I put it in, I did get approved for the time. So of course that was just like sitting in the back of my mind. And then I thought, okay, so let's see what, you know, what the Lord's going to do.
Yeah.
But, for me, like I'm a spontaneous person. I'm totally not planned. If you know anything about, well, actually you do, about Myers-Briggs, I'm an ESFP. So the okay. P part is like not usually planned. Uh-huh, I don't uh-huh. usually, you know, I'm not usually on time to things, but I have to do it for work. But in my normal self, like I'm usually spontaneous and free, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of times I wait till last minute for things. and I'm not very intentional, right? So after that thought, it just kind of sat there. Uh-huh. And, you know, all these things happened throughout, like that was when I first got the thought, it was the beginning of the year, right?
Yeah.
So it just kind of sat. And I would think about it, but I didn't really make a decision. That's the other thing. I can never... decisions are very hard for me. It takes me very long to decide something. So it just sat there. So then it was, I think, July where I finally started feeling a little bit of pressure, like, oh, mm-hmm. if I'm going to do this, I need to decide and we need to buy plane tickets yeah. and things like that. And I talked to Henry about it. And originally we were talking about maybe having the whole family go, right? Like the kids go and Henry go too, because Henry's dad lives there.
Yeah.
But it was looking like it would be hard because, you know, they would have just started school and it would just be difficult logistically, even though they're homeschooled, you know, we thought that would be great, but they do have some in-person classes.
Yeah.
So at that time we thought, well, maybe it's looking like if you want to go, it would just be you. Mm-hmm. So there's another thing about me is I usually do not like to be alone. I'm a huge extrovert, so yeah. I like doing things with people. So, and I've never like traveled to like Taiwan by myself. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I was thinking, I don't want to do that. Would I go myself? Like, is the conviction of the Lord strong enough for me to go by myself? And I just didn't, you know, I was like, I don't want to, Lord. So I would pray about it and I'd say, Lord, I don't want to go myself. So then I thought, okay, well, let me ask my parents because mm-hmm. my parents usually like to go, yeah. right? And so I called my parents and my parents initially were like, oh, you know, that sounds exciting. But then, so they said, okay, we'll think about it, right? And we'll all pray about it. Mm-hmm. And then like, 2 days later, they call me back and they're like, no, I don't think we're going to do it because of COVID, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. and there's these variants going on. And yeah. in Taiwan, it's really bad right now. So I'm like, okay, fine. Okay, so then I had to struggle with, do I really want to go? And does God really want me to go? And am I going to go myself, right? Yeah. So Henry and I keep praying about this. And one day I feel like I need to just surrender it to the Lord, right? So I say, okay, Lord, I kind of feel like I still need to go, but I'm not sure. So I am willing to surrender it. If I have to go myself, I will go myself because I, you know. So I surrender and I was like, okay, so I surrender, but please, if you know, you can kind of work it out. Like, yeah. So I'm telling the Lord, if you could work it out, you know my heart, Lord, I really don't like to travel. But I felt like the Lord saying to me, you know, I'm going to take care of you either way, right? Because what if you got on the plane and there's somebody on there, you know, sitting next to you that you meet and, you know, you get to know them and stuff. So I thought, oh, okay, yeah, that's true. Because I don't have any problems talking to people usually. So I thought, okay, so that made me feel a little better, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I still wasn't like totally sure, you know, whether I should go. And then at that time, you had to quarantine. Okay, so the first thing was God kind of put little things. So the quarantine went from 14 days to 10 days, right? Mm-hmm. And then it went from 10 days to this thing called 3+4. So you would just quarantine 3 days, and then the fourth day you can go out, but you just have to kind of wear a mask, keep social distance, things like that.
Yeah. Now, let me just stop you for a sec. Was this part of, you know, you and Henry prayed for a Gideon fleece? Was that part of the fleece, the restriction being moved back from 13 days to...
No, not yet. That was even later. But this was kind of the Lord setting things in place.
Okay, got you. Okay.
Beforehand, kind of giving me clues, but I wasn't sure, right? Yeah, and that's why we ended up asking for the Gideon fleece.
Yeah.
But so the quarantine went from 14 to 10 to 3. And then after the 3, it was what they said was, you have to stay in a hotel, like a special quarantine hotel.
Yeah.
And each person that goes needs to have their own bathroom. So even if, so let's say I went, but I had other people with me, we each have to have our own bathroom.
Okay.
So this was like July, right? So I'm thinking, wow, that is still like a headache. You know, I don't know where to go. Like if I was myself, like I'm just going to stay in a hotel room myself and, you know, no, and people can't visit, you know, so there were just these obstacles in my head and I really didn't feel ready to commit one way or the other. Right.
Okay.
But see, like I told you, like I wait. So this was July and it was towards the end of July. So Henry's like, okay, I think, you know, let's pray about it. So we prayed about it and it wasn't clear. So then he says to me, and he'll tell you that if you talk to him about this whole process, I do have to credit him because he really did kind of push and kind of like get us to really ask and make the decision finally, right? So what happened is he said, okay, why don't we pray for a Gideon fleece? Because someone, I can't remember who preached it, had been talking about the story of Gideon.
Yeah. Now let me just stop you right there. So just for the listeners that don't know what a Gideon fleece is, in the book of Judges in the Bible, chapter 6, God told Gideon that he would lead and deliver Israel from the Midianites. But Gideon asked God for a sign. So he put a wool fleece out on the threshing floor and declared, if the dew is on the fleece only, and the ground is dry, then Gideon would know that God would truly deliver Israel from the Midianites. So the next morning, sure enough, the fleece was completely soaked and the ground was dry. So that was the Gideon fleece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So we were asking for God to confirm, you know, the decision if I were to go back, right? And at that time, we knew that it would just be me, right? So then... So we pray, and then Henry gets a specific date. He gets August 15th. Okay, so now this is the end of July.
Yeah.
Right? The ticket prices are, like, crazier, you know, than ever before.
Yeah.
And so he goes August 15th. So I'm like, okay, August 15th. So that means we're going to know. Something's going to happen by August 15th that we're going to know one way or the other, whether I should go or not. So then I'm sitting, and then, of course, Pelosi, during this time, right, Pelosi ends up going to visit Taiwan, Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, yeah.
And creates this crazy stir, and, of course, China decides to do military exercises and things like that. So that happens, and I'm thinking, oh, is that a fleece? Does that mean that I shouldn't go, right? So I started having kind of, like, doubts, right? I was like, okay. But, you know, we talked about it, Henry and I, and we're like, no, I don't. So normally that would bug me, but somehow it didn't bug me. Mm-hmm. I was like, mm-hmm. well, mm-hmm. you know, let's just wait and see, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So then we're waiting and waiting. It's getting closer and closer to August 15th. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, you know, and then I start getting antsy, like, don't we need to buy the tickets? Like, this is for September, because I was trying to go right after Labor Day.
Okay.
So I thought, wow, this is getting kind of nerve wracking for me, right?
Yeah.
But Henry's like, no, let's just wait and sit and pray, right? So we're still praying. We're still waiting.
Yeah.
On August 12th, Taiwan announces that, first of all, they are not going to require COVID tests mm-hmm. before boarding the mm-hmm. plane. And then that household, that restriction where you have to quarantine at a hotel, it's no longer true. You can actually uh-huh. go and you can stay at somebody's house, and then you can, you don't have to have each individual bathroom. You could just have one bathroom as long as you're with the party that you went with on the plane, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm saying this and I think, wow. Okay. All right. So then I thought, I feel like I'm going to ask my parents again, right? To see if they might be open to it. Cause yeah. I had told them, okay, you guys aren't going, that's fine, but I'm still going to pray about it. Right.
Yeah.
And I know something will happen. Like, I'm waiting for something to happen to tell me whether mm-hmm. I should go or not. Mm-hmm. So I call my parents and I told them, you know, this happened. I think that's the confirmation. So I'm going to go. And you know what they say? Of course, they say, okay, we'll go too. And I thought, what? Didn't you tell me like you didn't want to go because, yeah. right? Because the this military stuff and the COVID.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you know, I think we do. Like, our hearts were that we really wanted to go.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
we were kind of afraid. But if you go, we'll go with you.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it sounds like no hesitation. That's why you were so shocked, huh?
Yeah, I was shocked. And also, I kind of felt like it helped them increase their faith a little bit.
Wow.
Right? So I was like, oh, okay. So thank you, Lord, because now I don't have to go by myself, right?
Yeah.
If this is true. And so then, you know, I'm kind of like, oh, this is great. I'm on cloud nine. Okay, let's like go in, let's try to buy the tickets, you know?
Yeah.
So my parents call the travel agent, and then a couple of days later they say to me, okay, you can't go. Like, so literally my dad texted me and he said, you can't go, we can't buy a ticket for you. And I said, why not? And then he said, because you're an American citizen, you need a Taiwanese passport. They're only allowing people who are foreign nationals to go back to Taiwan. So I thought, what? Really? And I went on the website and I looked, and sure enough, like, I was under the impression that originally, usually you don't need a visa as long as you're traveling less than 90 days, mm-hmm. you don't need to get a visa to go to Taiwan. So that's what I was thinking this whole time, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But then I read, and it turns out they had all this COVID restrictions still. So they were only allowing foreign nationals. And I didn't understand I thought foreign nationals meant that you needed a Taiwanese passport or whatever, right? So I thought, oh, maybe then I can't go, right? So I say to the Lord, I'm like, are you really, right? Is this, but I still feel like I'm supposed to go for some reason, right? Yeah. And then I felt like that Gideon fleece, the first one, was confirmed. So I thought, okay, well, so then I research it a little more, and I see this line that says that people can actually visit if you are going to visit a relative, but you just have to get the visa, a special visa approved, and you need to give them all the documents proving your relationship to people in Taiwan, all this kind of stuff, right? So I saw that and I thought, okay. But then I'm thinking in my head, right, like all the bureaucratic red tape, like trying to get all the paperwork and all the documents that I need. And mind you, this is like this is like towards the end of August already, right? Yeah, so I'm thinking, wow, is this going to be even possible, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I kind of was struggling with, should I just forget it? And this is, you know, this is the answer. But, you know, what's funny is, like, God kind of speaks to me with impressions and feelings a lot of times too. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like it wasn't done, right? Yeah. So I tried. I said, okay, you know what? Okay, Lord, I don't know. I'm just going to put in the paperwork and see if I can get the paperwork done. Yeah. Yeah. And I asked, you know, my relatives and things. And amazingly enough, it wasn't as hard as I thought. Like, my dad had some documents, my relatives had documents, and they just sent it through LINE to me. So it was like instantaneous. So I had all the documents, right? So then the next hurdle actually was, how do we get this visa? So normally the visa takes like months, right, to get approved. And if you've ever tried to get like a visa to another country, you know, you have to do it like way in advance, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I look up the Taiwanese consulate. It's in downtown LA. And I thought, okay, the only way we can do this is if we get in to see them and have them go approve it. Now, this is already, okay, so this is literally like August 20th or something like that. And we were going to leave like September 7th. So this was like going to be impossible, right? So.
And at what point did you throw out the second fleece, the Gideon fleece?
Yeah. So what happened is I couldn't decide, because I, on the one hand, I had the feeling still, but on the other hand, it seemed like it was a no, right?
Yeah.
So I was telling Henry, you know, we were talking about it, and Henry's like, well, Gideon asked for a second fleece. Why don't we ask for a second fleece?
That's right.
So I'm like, okay, I'll ask for a second fleece. So we asked for a second fleece, and I found out, we were reading the website for how to schedule the appointment for the so the Taiwanese consulate, you know, when I was growing up, I remember my parents having to like line up, you know, outside, like it's 6 or 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, just to be there and get in, you know, to be processed, right? Yeah. So that's what I'm thinking in my head, like, mm-hmm. that's what we have to do. And then when we were reading the website, it said, when we were reading Google reviews, it said, this is the worst, you know, the service is horrible. You have to make an appointment. They won't see you unless you have an appointment. They never answer the phone. They never return your calls, you know, and there's this scary, mean lady downstairs that doesn't speak English. And she just tells you to check, 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 and then tells you to go away if you don't have an appointment, right? So I'm thinking, wow, this is crazy. So should I go? Should I not? And of course, you know, the following week I had to work. Mm-hmm. And I'll share something kind of funny with you that I'm going to confess that will probably make me look vain. But there is something like, I get my eyelashes done, which means I get eyelash extensions because I don't have really, like, very, very short, like, natural eyelashes. So once a month, like, I go and get, like, eyelashes put in, right? So, but it's so hard to get an appointment, okay? So I have to schedule way in advance. So I had an eyelash appointment that following week where we were thinking about going to the consulate. So I'm telling Henry, and Henry's, like, rolling his eyes, right? I'm like, oh, I got to change. Like, let's see if I can change this appointment, right? Of course, I would have given it up anyway, you know, gone naked, like without eyelashes to Taiwan anyway, but I thought, oh, well, let me see if I can change it. Right. So I called the lady, and she said, oh, I can actually take you, 'cause my appointment was on a Tuesday. She said, I can take you on Wednesday afternoon. So I'm like, oh, that's amazing. Okay. Put me in Wednesday afternoon. Right. So then because Wednesday afternoon I had a meeting, but I didn't need to be physically present. So that worked out. And then normally I'm off on Tuesdays, right? Mm-hmm. So we were planning to go to the consulate on Tuesday. So we prayed about the second fleece. And you know what's funny is during that time, I really felt like it had to be a miracle. Like, I just, I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was like supernatural faith or something, but I really felt, and I'm getting emotional, but I felt like God was going to do a miracle. I didn't know how, but I felt like he was going to do a miracle for me.
Wow.
And something that, you know, and I didn't know how, but I just kind of felt that, but I wasn't sure. And I think I doubt myself a lot when I feel like, am I hearing God or am I not, right? And so what happened was we asked for the second fleece, and that weekend we had like a throne room worship. So it's a worship time. And I saw Evasia there that night.
Yeah.
And I was kind of sharing with her about, you know, going back to Taiwan and this whole thing and about trying for the visa or not.
Yeah.
And she said to me, she said, because I told her, we don't want to waste our time, right? We don't want to go and then not get it and then just, you know, waste our time. And then the kids need to be taken care of. You know, there are different things, right, logistically. But she says to me, you know, what if there's an assignment when you go? So even if you go to the consulate and you don't get your visa or they don't even see you, then what if there's somebody waiting in line, you know, that needs, that you, that God wants you to say something to?
Yeah.
Or what if he has some special assignment for you, but you just don't know, right? Mm-hmm. So she's like, it's not even, what do you have to lose, right?
Yeah.
So she said that, and I felt like really strongly that that was like the second fleece. I honestly thought, yeah, that's true. Like, why, what have I got to lose, right? Mm-hmm. What have I got to lose? And I do feel somehow like, God, this has got to be a miracle. If you're going to do this, it's going to be a miracle. Because, I'll tell you why, because we only, it was only like 2 weeks away, right?
Yeah.
We hadn't bought the tickets yet or anything. And to get the visa, I didn't know if all the paperwork was adequate because the Chinese translation, I'm not really sure if what we did was right. And I just kind of, you know, felt like it seems impossible, honestly, because the reviews that we saw in the consulate, and also we had tried to get an appointment. So the way they have it now is you have to get online appointments. You have to book them online. Mm-hmm. The soonest appointment wasn't until the end of October. So it would have been like too late anyway, right? And we were checking every day. We were checking every day, nothing available. Henry left messages to try to get an appointment and never got a call back.
Yeah.
So it just didn't seem like, you know, anything would happen.
Yeah.
So, but when Evasia said that to me, it kind of increased my faith again. And, and I kind of, like, the Lord reminded me, you know what? I should just do it because, you know, I believe, like, I believe that he can perform a miracle, right?
Yeah.
So we get up on Tuesday morning and we go early and it opens up at 9 o'clock. Okay. So when we get there, first of all, there was a parking space. So that alone was like thrilling, right? Yeah. That there's a parking space.
Yes, it's a good sign.
So then there we park, and then I go first, and there's nobody outside the office. So the way the consulate is there's a first floor, and there's, that's where you kind of check in or whatever, but the actual processing of the visas and everything happens on the seventh floor of this building in downtown. So I go line up, you know, on the first floor outside of the consulate, and there's nobody there, right? And it's like 8:45. So I'm thinking, shoot, is this good or bad, right? Because maybe we're not going to get in because there's no appointment. We don't have an appointment. I was just trying to walk in.
Yeah.
Or is it, you know, is it that we're just lucky and it's a good day? So I'm just waiting there. So I'm waiting there, And then I see one other woman come up, and she's just this older lady, and she's standing there. And then I see, okay, then it's like 8:55. So when 8:55 hits, there's this woman that's walking kind of rapidly, and she's Chinese, right? She's walking really rapidly towards me, and I'm thinking, what's going on? So she stops me, and she says, she stops right in front of me. She says, do you have an appointment? Now, I can't make a Chinese accent, sorry. So she's like, do you have an appointment? Like, very heavily accented, right?
Right, right.
And I'm like, no, you have to have an appointment, right? And I'm like, I know, but I'm here to, you know, get a visa. I have all my paperwork and there's a mail-in option. So my husband said, maybe we should just bring it because this is where we would mail it. And she stopped me. Like, she like just interrupted. No mail-in. Yeah, I mean, no, you can't turn it in. You just need to mail it in. Yeah. And so I was kind of frustrated. I'm like, oh my goodness. So then this is probably that lady, right? So
the one that got the bad Google reviews.
Yes, the bad Google reviews. So I said, oh man. So I said, okay. Can I at least, you know, can you at least just look through my paperwork to make sure that everything is there, right? And she's like, no, you need an appointment. You need to come, you know. And I'm sitting there. What am I supposed to do? And you know what she says to me? She says, check, check, check. And then she explained what she meant is go back to the website and just check, like just keep checking to see if there's an appointment. I thought, I can't do that. I'm supposed to travel like in a little over a week, right? Yeah. So I'm sitting there and she's just frustrated already. Then she looks at Henry and she's like, is he with you? And I'm like, yes, he's with me. And then she looks straight at him and she tells him, check, 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 right? Oh. And so Henry's like, what is she talking about? So then she like goes back and she says, I can't help you right now. I have to help the people that are here that have an appointment. Yeah. So I'm like, okay. So she takes that older woman that was also there and she takes her in. So I tell Henry, she just told me to check. What should we do now, right? Mm-hmm. And he goes, I guess we're supposed to check. So I'm okay. Okay. So we went back on to the website and he checks on his phone. And kid you not, I think our eyes kind of like our jaws dropped to the floor and our eyes just kind of went crazy. There was an appointment. So we were there on Tuesday. There was an appointment for Wednesday at 2:30, right? The following day.
Yeah.
And yeah. I thought, what the heck is this, right? So Henry's like, okay, should I book it? I said, yeah. Oh, darn it. That's my eyelash appointment. But it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Yes, book it, right? Let's book it. So he booked it. And you know what's funny is I was happy, but I also just kind of felt like, you know, I think there's more. I don't know why. I just feel like there's more. Because Henry's like, okay, should we go? And I thought, yeah, can we just wait here a little bit longer?
Yeah.
Right. So I'm thinking all sorts of things in my head, like maybe there's going to be an appointment that opens up today. Or maybe something's going to happen because in my head, I'm still feeling like I'm still holding on to this like miracle, right?
Yeah.
And you would think like it's already a miracle that an appointment opened up the next day and I could come back. Uh-huh. Like literally, uh-huh. We could come back again and process everything. But there was just something I just said, you know, can we just, let's just wait, right? So we wait a little longer. Nothing's happening. And then... So I have to tell you, there is a bathroom on the seventh floor. Okay. So nothing's happening. So finally I was just like, okay, I think that's good enough. Yeah. Let's come back. Right. But then Henry says, you know, okay, well, I need to go to the bathroom before we go, you know, before we leave. But he says, but I feel like we need to go to the seventh floor. So, and you need to come with me. And I thought, yeah, that sounds right. So I don't know. I don't know what I was hoping for, but I just thought, okay, and let's go.
Allowed you to go up to
yes,
the seventh
yes.
floor
so
to use the bathroom.
Yes. So she, that lady downstairs is the gatekeeper, but you know, she can't guard the elevators. You know, you can go up and down because there's probably other stuff up there, right? So besides the consulate. So we go up in the elevator and when we exit the elevator, there is a man standing outside of the consulate with the bathroom key. And he just happens to say to us, oh, do you need me to open the bathroom?
Huh. Wow.
So Henry says, yes, I need to go to the restroom. So as he's unlocking the door, we're following him. He's unlocking the bathroom door.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm supposed to ask this man who's opening, you know, the bathroom if we can be seen today, right? Yeah. I just felt like it. I think the thought just came and I know it was Holy Spirit because So I'm like, what do I have to lose, right? Again, so I say to him, you know, we have an appointment scheduled for tomorrow afternoon. I have the QR code. There's this QR code you have to verify that you have the appointment. And I, you know, since we're here, is there any possible way that you guys can see us today instead of tomorrow, right? Because I thought, well, he can say no, right? Yeah. So he turns to me and he says, you need to talk to the lady downstairs.
Here we go again.
Yeah, I'm like, what? I had to talk to her again? So I thought, okay. So I'm trying not to let my face show how I'm feeling, right?
Yeah.
So, but I think to myself, you know what? It's not the end. I can go back downstairs and at least I can tell her I talked to your colleague upstairs and he said to come talk to you, you know?
Yeah.
So Henry finishes, we go back downstairs to the first floor and I wait, you know, in the corner for her to finish. And then I come up to her and she's like, she gives me this look like, you again? You know, what do you want? Right? And, I didn't tell you earlier, I speak Chinese, but it's not great. But she had like forced me to speak Chinese. She was like, don't speak English. Like you speak Chinese, speak Chinese.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I'm trying to do all of this in like Mandarin. So it's just very interesting. Yeah. But so she's like, what do you want? And I said, okay, so I did what you said and I went back and checked and we got an appointment for tomorrow afternoon. I have the QR code. I went up we went to the bathroom upstairs and I talked to the guy that was outside and he said to talk to you about being seen today, right? So and she looks at me, right? And then she goes, you have an appointment? I said, yes, I have the QR code, right? So she stops and then she said, let me see your paperwork, right?
So are you already starting to feel hopeful?
Yes.
That she just asked to see the paperwork?
Yes. I'm sitting like, I'm trying not to get too excited, right? Because she's taking the paperwork. So she takes the paperwork and she looks through it and then she like takes this empty sheet of paper and she starts writing on it and she writes on it and then she stops and then she looks at me and then she says, take this upstairs to my colleague and they'll see you today.
Woo!
Oh my goodness, right? I was shocked. I was like, thank you, right? Yeah, thank you so much. So we went back upstairs and the line was very short. I got everything processed. And she said to me, the lady who was processing me, said to me, you can come back in a week to pick this up, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I just have to add too, when we got up there, she needed actually only one piece of information. What happened is when we got up there, this is a different lady.
Okay.
I had all this paperwork.
Yeah.
All she needed was my Taiwanese passport. So what I found out was that I was able to go because I was born in Taiwan. So even though I didn't have, like a current Taiwanese passport, because I was born in Taiwan and because my dad had sent me a copy of my Taiwanese passport when I was 3, when I like immigrated to the United States, I had that. So she said, do you have a Taiwanese passport? So I give this to her and she said, and I said, will this work? And she said, yeah, it'll work. So I was just, I was like, wow. So that's really all you need because she just needed to verify that I actually was born in Taiwan. And so that was the key thing that she needed.
Wow.
And then there was another thing. The funny thing was, So there's just so many steps along the way. So I had that picture on my phone, but I didn't think that she was going to need that. So I had not photocopied that as a piece of my paperwork. So it was only on my phone, and I showed it to her on my phone, and she said, I can't take that. It needs to be a printout copy. So I was thinking, oh my goodness, how am I going to do this, right? Or can, so then Henry comes to the rescue, and Henry goes, can we email it to you, right? And and she, I don't know if this is some Taiwanese people, but there's like no emotion, right? So you can't tell what they're what they're thinking. So she stops for a minute, and then she scribbles on this little post-it note, kind of the same way that that lady downstairs just wrote stuff without telling me what she was doing. And she's like, here. And she gave us her like her personal email address there. So so we could just email it right there.
Wow.
So so we emailed like that photo of my my passport from when I was 3 years old. And so that worked out. Wow. So that was another hiccup that I thought, oh no, is it going to stop here? But it didn't. And then she finally, she approved everything and said, okay, you can come back in a week.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Now, I know the story doesn't end there. The Holy Spirit prompted you to do something, and I wondered if you can talk about what that was that he prompted you to do.
Yeah. So after that happened and we were finished, I felt like the Holy Spirit said, you need to go back and thank this woman downstairs. And I was like, really? So I told Henry, and he's like, what? Really? So I thought, no, I feel like let's get her something. You know, there's there was like a CVS right across the street.
Okay.
So I said, maybe we can get her a gift card or something and come back and just thank her. And so Henry's like, okay, okay. So we went across the street and we got her a Target gift card and like some Ferrero Rochers, you know, little box of that. And we went back to her and I waited until she finished with her next person. And then I went up to her and I said, I need to thank you because I prayed this morning and God used you to help, you know, us get a visa to go back to Taiwan to visit my family. So I feel like we need to thank you, right? And she's the first thing she says to me, like, so her whole demeanor changed, right?
Yeah.
Like her whole demeanor changed because I think she was wondering, what's she going to do now, right? But her whole demeanor changed. And she said, are you a Christian? And I said, yes, I am.
Wow. Wow.
And she just kind of nodded her head. She didn't say anything, but I could tell something was registering for her.
Something.
So she said, I can't accept this. She said, I can't accept this. Really? No. Like there's this, you know, 不好意思, right? Oh, that's like a phrase in Chinese when you're like, no, I really can't. And I thought, no. I said to her, no, you really should accept this. And then this thought popped into my mind. I said to her, no, you really have to, because God told me that I had to give this to you. So you really have to accept it, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you so much, right?
Yeah.
So she's thanking me profusely. And then I felt like we were supposed to thank her just kind of, you know, for what she did. And then Henry was thanking her too. So we basically said to her, you know, thank you for doing this job. And I know it's probably hard. You see all kinds of people every day and they're, you know, maybe grumpy, they may be demanding, and you are kind of the gatekeeper, right? You have to keep things moving. And so it's such a blessing that you are in this position. Thank you for what you do.
Yeah.
And thank you for coming every day, even though it's hard.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
And she, I think she literally melted. Like it was, you know.
Well, you know, you and I, we talked about this. You know, one of my favorite Christmas movies is Santa Claus is Coming to Town. If it's, you know, old movie, but, you know, the Kris Kringle gets caught by the wicked warlock.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kris Kringle gives him this toy train, something that he's wanted all his life. And then it just like you said, he melts away, and this mean face with the teeth melts away. And it's like this lady has probably never got any type of affirmation from anyone. Mm-hmm. And you showed her the love of God. And it's almost, you could just almost, it's tangible. You can almost see the transformation in her, and you visibly saw that, huh?
Yeah. It was so clear. And then it was so funny. It was kind of like her natural person came out, like the real her. Cause she says to me after this, she goes, you know what? You know, there was another man who came in after you, and he was also asking for a visa. And I told him the same thing, and he got really angry and he just stormed off. So he has no business going to Taiwan. So I thought, oh my gosh, for her to tell me that was so cute. I thought, wow, this is really her now. Now we're connecting as a person to another person, right?
Yeah.
So that was really, really special.
So you and Henry jump in the car, and then the tears started flowing. And so what was going on inside you?
Yeah, so when we got in the car, and we were getting ready to leave, and as soon as I closed the door, I just like started crying and crying and crying, and Henry's like, "What? You know, are you okay?" And I just, you know, really felt, I think, the love of God and His goodness.
Yes.
And here's where I just felt like, okay, God, you really did a miracle. You really did a miracle, because you put that on my heart, and I thought I shouldn't believe it, but I still did. Like somehow I did. And so we didn't leave, right? We didn't leave. We like pushed through it, and you did it. And not only did you do it, I think the other thing is, this is why I brought up the eyelashes, is that I was still able to go to my eyelash appointment the next day. And so I really felt like, oh my gosh, God, you love me even in the little things, the things that I think that are like silly and like not even important, but you knew that was on my heart.
Yes. Yes.
And so even that little detail he took care of.
Yeah.
And so I just felt so loved in a personal way.
Yeah.
And I also really felt like, wow, with kind of that state that I was in, like I was able to bless another person.
Yes.
Like the Lord just kind of allowed that love to kind of transfer over to her.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't only me or Henry that was blessed that day. Like she was so blessed too.
Oh, yeah.
And so that really kind of just was overwhelming for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you changed a life. It's just so evident. And, you know, there's just so many times during your journey that you could have given up, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you had the COVID restrictions. You had, when you went online, there were no appointments available till October.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you met the Tiger Lady, you know, she blew you off at first.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think of the persistence, the sticking with it, and a relentlessness about your whole journey. And it parallels the story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 11, where a man goes to his friend's house at midnight asking for 3 loaves of bread for his friend. And it wasn't even for him, it was for his friend. And then although he would not get up and give him anything because he was his friend, because of his persistence, he finally gave him what he wanted. And I just think, you know, my thought is just your unyielding belief and faith to, you know, to desire to see the kingdom come and be contend for your family too, because and you know, when I think of that, your persistence, Agnes, I don't think of it as like a nagging, begging type of way, but it's almost like a resolve, because you see how big that God is and how God can do anything, and through faith you believe that. And so I wondered what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I look back on it and I really it's not this, like, I have huge faith, right? And then that I knew for sure, absolutely sure that it was going to happen. Yeah, like, yeah. During that whole time, it was kind of a reliance on the Lord. It was like, should I? Should I not? Yeah. Are you showing me this? Are you not? Like, and every step of the way, I had to ask. So it's what you said. It wasn't this grand, I'm going to do it and that's it. But it was just this, I still have the feeling. I just need to, you know, I just need to keep going. And I don't know why. And I don't know what's going to happen. But somehow that feeling was still there.
Yeah.
And it
yeah.
just stayed there. And so I didn't feel like I wanted to give up until I had tried everything that I felt like the Lord was asking me to do.
Yes.
And
yes.
so even, and that's why, like, I felt like it was a miracle, because that would never have happened. So what's even more miraculous is that she told me to come back in a week, right?
Yeah.
3 days later, I got the email that the visa was approved. And so I was able to go pick it up. And when I went back to pick it up, I went to the seventh floor and they said, you can go to the seventh floor and go into this one line and just go there for pickup. So you don't have to go in the regular lines, right?
Yeah.
I got to the seventh floor and you're going to guess who was behind that, you know, window for the pickup. Yes. It was her wearing the exact same clothes she was wearing the Tuesday before. Oh, and, and so there was a man in front of me in line. So he was talking with her, but she saw me, right? She saw me while she's talking to this other guy and helping him. And she just takes her hand and she motions, right? Yeah. She's like, come. Like, she's motioning with her hand behind the window. And so I come up there and I'm like, oh, she recognizes me. And she said, are you here to pick up your visa? And she had this huge smile on her face, right? Yeah. And I said, yes, I am. Thank you. So she got the visa and she gave it to me. Yeah. I didn't even have to wait, right? Yeah. She's still processing this other guy in front of me. And she motioned me.
She wanted to be the one to get it for you.
Yeah. So it was, I honestly thought that was the perfect kind of, you know, tie up, right? Like tie up, wrap up the whole thing, right? And I was just, I mean, honestly, I was on cloud nine. I felt like so excited, so much faith. Like, I shared with a bunch of people already. I'm sorry if this is a repeat, but I added some other details that I didn't say before. Yeah. But it was just so special. And I'd like to say that, you know, I was full of faith and this was just great and everything happened wonderfully. But, you know, honestly, so when it got closer, so that was, I picked up the visa like right at the end of August and we bought the tickets. And then, you know, what's funny is the enemy tries to get in, right? Yeah. The enemy tries to get in and create doubt. So when it happened, I'm still on cloud nine, but yet at the same time, I'm starting to have like fears. Like, I'm starting to think, oh shoot, we can't, you know, what if we get COVID on the plane? What if, you know, what if my parents get COVID? What if we get COVID like in Taiwan? What if something happens? What if like the Chinese military, like, you know, shoot something and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so I just thought like, this is crazy. Like, you know, I can't believe I'm thinking this, right? So I was kind of starting to kind of lose some of my faith, right? Mm-hmm. So then I was having breakfast with Ruth's son, and she says to me, and I was sharing this with her, and she said, hey, girl, you know, he got you the visa. He got you the visa. So don't forget that. He got you the visa.
Yeah.
So when you go, you're going to go as a daughter of the King. Mm-hmm. You're going to represent, you know, the Father.
Yeah,
so go like a princess with the authority, with all the angels, you know, that go with you. And even if you don't do anything, because I was starting to think like, oh, what, you know, what is going to happen? Like, who am I going to talk to? Like, is everything going to work out, right?
Yeah.
And she said, don't worry about that. It may not be any of that. It could just be bringing your presence to Taiwan, just going through with this.
Yeah.
And when she said that to me, I really felt encouraged, and I was able to go, okay, forget, stop all these fears. You know, the Lord got me here. It was amazing. He did everything. And if he did that, there's no way I'm not going to, you know, go, right? Yeah. This is, he has some sort of purpose for me, whatever it is.
Yes. Wow. Whew. Agnes, thank you for coming on and sharing this amazing story. So we're running short on time, but for those listening, stay tuned, because during part two of my conversation with Agnes Chi, Agnes has now boarded her plane to Taiwan, and she'll reveal what God did and what God showed her during her amazing trip. So, Agnes, thank you for being here on Catalyst Stories and sharing your amazing testimony with us.
Thank you, John, for having me.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear part two. And I'd like to end our time together by lifting up a prayer of thanksgiving for this wonderful testimony and for our listeners as well. God, Jesus, thank you for Agnes's heart to seek you and hear from you, to go to Taiwan to minister to her family. And I think of John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and know them and they follow me. And help us to hear and know your voice, that we may follow wherever you lead all the days of our lives. And Lord, thank you for opening the way time and time again for Agnes to make this trip. Thanks for giving Agnes the persistence that you talk about in Luke 11 to be relentless to what you're calling her to step into by faith, believing that you would provide a pathway for her to get to Taiwan. Thank you for all the encouragement along the way from people like Avasia Holly and Ruth Sun and Agnes's husband Henry, just to go and see what you could do by taking a step of faith. And Jesus, may you give us the faith and courage to be relentless and persistent, not giving up so easily when you call us to step into what you're prompting us and showing us to do. And finally, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the compassion that Agnes and Henry displayed for the lady at the Taiwanese consulate, for changing her life forever, Lord. Give us the strength to love others the way that you love us, Lord, because I just think you are so loving toward us and all our faults and all our shortcomings, Lord. We don't deserve it, but Lord, we remember in Romans 5:8 that while we were yet sinners, Jesus, you died and gave up your life for us that we might have everlasting life. So, Lord Jesus, give us that same resolve, Lord, for others. And now, Jesus, may you use this testimony in Agnes's life to inspire all of us to become all that you have created and called us to be in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks again, Agnes. And that's it for part one of our podcast with Agnes. Until next time, take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and see how God uses you to become a catalyst of encouragement and inspiration to others. God bless.